you're an alien and you've just come down to Earth for the first time ever yesterday and you land at Staples and you see these Clippers win a game seven at home and you're like, this is the most clutch team in sports ever. Ramona Shelburne, Israel Gutierrez, Monica McNutt, Frank Isola. Let's go.
Don't fill them in on the history then. Just let them believe it.
Oh, man.
Just keep Bill Plasky and Ramona working.
Clippers 126, Mavericks 111. Tyronn Lue said when they were down 0-2, this is when we find out what we're made of. This panel laughed. Take the mute for Sarah Spain, everybody. Lue was right. How they let Luka come out like a comet, but burn out like a comet. And Kawhi Leonard putting up a line for a series we haven't seen since Shaq. He shot 61% for the series and averaged 32 points per game. So, Ramona Shelburne, you were there. You witnessed the Clippers pull it all together, exercise playoff demons, win a game seven at home. What does it mean?
Well, listen, I was one of those who said some things and wrote some things that we probably
Thank
can't say.
Thank you yeah. for reminding us, know. Ramona.
Yeah, yeah.
Things have been said.
but look, the truth is they showed a lot of mental toughness, and I think that you got to give a lot of credit to Tyronn Lue. We all made fun of him when he said, I'm not concerned. Yeah. Paul George, I'm not concerned. Okay, then they go down 30-11 in game three. It's worse than going down 0-2. Yeah. They were down 30-11, and they come back from that deficit. They finally become the first team to win a home game in this series. Amazing. But I think the way they did it was really impressive. Dallas went with that big lineup, and the Clippers decided we're going small. Okay, and they stuck with it even when they lost game five at home with Boban out there. They stuck with that small lineup. They trusted their shooters. They had shot horribly during the series. They were 34% shooting from behind the three-point arc in the first six games. Last game, 23-pointers. Marcus Morris tied an all-time record with Steph Curry for most three-pointers in a game. In a game seven, seven three-pointers.
So have all the demons been exercised now for the Clippers, Ramona?
No, it's the first round, man. Okay. It's the first round. They haven't done anything yet.
All right. A series doesn't start until the home team wins, and then it ends when the home team wins. Israel Gutierrez will bring you in here on what the Clippers showed you last night.
I mean, thankfully, they won this series, frankly, because it would have been a lot of just negativity around the franchise when you consider that this was Kawhi Leonard. Like, he was supposed to do this. This was a first-round victory. It was nothing special when those two guys, Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, got to L.A. It was supposed to be championships. And so it seemed like this team didn't have an identity, was kind of rudderless, seemed like it was all over the place. And then Kawhi Leonard said, you know what? It's my team, and I'm going to take over, and we're going to be as good as I'm going to let us be. And he was spectacular, and he looked like the Kawhi Leonard from a couple years ago. He looked like a guy who was rested and didn't need any more days off. He looked fantastic. And frankly, you know, you do that to beat a flawed team that was playing a lot of zone against you, that found 31 minutes for Boban, which, you know, let's be honest, most teams in the league, he's not going to find too many minutes. And, yeah, and they were essentially a one-man team that you beat. So, yes, it's a small celebration. You actually spoke up and came up to what you needed to do, but no, you can't celebrate this. This has to be something that continues in order for them to be celebrated.
Monica McNutt, what did the Clippers prove to you?
It proved that we were assembled to beat a team in the first round. I mean, that's pretty much it. I mean, they did what they were supposed to do. I think Kawhi Leonard is fantastic, and that 61% from the field puts him in an elite class of guys. But I mean, really? This is the first round.
Yes,
man.
It happened.
Anyway.
I didn't want to distract you from this, but okay, fine. Take your little penalty for a banned word, and please go on.
All right, 61% is very impressive and notable, as is the 24 free throws that this team made, 24 from 24 in game seven. But in general, this is the beginning of the journey for this unit. You can't exercise demons if you don't get to the place where you guys were assembled to get. They're going to have their hands full in the next round.
All right, so no demons exercise. And Frank Isola, speaking of, we go to you.
Yeah, the idea that they exercise demons is patently absurd. Okay. This is a franchise that's never made it to a conference finals. They were in the second round last year. The idea is to get to your first ever conference finals. But as Ramona brought up, you know, some of the little things that happened out there. Marcus Morris, 7 3-pointers. How about Nicholas Batum? Larry Brown always used to say, we need ball movers. That was Nicholas Batum. He gets the ball and he moves it. And then 24 of 24 from the free throw line. And then how about 30 assists, 8 turnovers for the Clippers. That's how you win closeout games. Give them credit. Winning that game six was big, but This is a team put together to win a championship, not beat Dallas in the first round.
Ramona, you brought up Tyronn Lue and what he brought to the team this year, because so much attention was on who he could have coached this team when Doc Rivers left.
Yeah. Look, 9-2 in elimination games. Mm-hmm. Tyronn Lue made a lot of little moves in there, and I think you get credit for those moves, but you also get credit for setting the tone and helping them not panic, because believe me, they should have panicked. They were down 0-2. They were down 30-11.
They should have been panicking. Maybe there was a reason why they...
If I was coach, they would have panicked.
Yeah. Tyronn Lue, it was also the anniversary of Iverson stepping over him, and
hey,
then he does this,
that's not
right?
Nice.
That's pretty great.
That's not nice
that's
to bring that
Let's
up.
Let's talk about the Dallas Mavericks. Tim Kalishaw, you familiar with his work?
Uh-huh.
He wrote up today that it's been a decade since they won a playoff series, and they need to get Luka help, or they're wasting him, this generational talent. Also, ESPN's Tim McMahon reporting Kristaps Porzingis isn't in love with being an afterthought in this offense. So, Ramona, what do you have for Dallas?
Oh, that's a nice way of framing it. Yeah, you're not in love with not being a star on this team. Or maybe you're not a star. I mean, like, whose fault is that? I was just in Dallas over the weekend. He was getting booed by the home crowd. I'm not surprised he's not happy about the situation, but maybe just play better. Like, he was not a factor in this series. If anything, he was a negative, and Rick Carlisle had to run plays just to get him going in Game 7. He hit some shots, but they need a lot more around Luka because, guys, I'm feeling a LeBron, and I'm taking the banned word, Tony. I'm taking it. I'm feeling a LeBron narrative coming up here, okay? This kid is so good. I took it. I walked into it. I know. But I'm feeling that coming up. He's 22 years old, and he is that good. They need to get him some help.
So you're saying what LeBron was in Cleveland those first four, mm-hmm. five, 6 years, and the breakthrough, you're seeing it happen to Luka in real time here. Frank Isola, you could talk about the Luka angle. You could talk about the Porzingis angle, but what Dallas should be thinking right about now.
Yeah. One quick correction. The Clippers outscored them by 30 on three-pointers. I said they had 33-pointers. Here's the thing with Kristaps and Luka Doncic. I remember talking to somebody in that organization over a year ago, and I asked them, how's the relationship with those two? And the person started laughing. I think everyone assumes, well, they're from Europe, so obviously they must get along. There is an issue there. And listen, I've supported Kristaps Porzingis a lot. He has to do two things. A, stay healthy. B, you need to learn to get along with Luka Doncic, because if you're jealous of him as a star, you need to get over it, because that guy is a star. He is a bit of a combination of Magic and Larry Bird. Come on now, Kristaps, get with the program.
Monica McNutt.
The folks in my neck of the woods with MSG already referred to that trade as the Tim Hardaway trade and not the Kristaps Porzingis trade. So that speaks to kind of where he stands on this squad. But in terms of Luka, you know, I think putting shooters around him is a great theory, but it's not as if Jalen Brunson and Tim Hardaway can't shoot. They give up a little bit of size. I would like to see the NBA prototypical guy come alongside of him that could be his second banana. Can shoot the three, can create a little bit, and would help space the floor and also help that team out on the glass.
And that's not Porzingis for you. This team cannot move forward, Porzingis being
Damian Lillard,
theoretically the second best. I was waiting for somebody to say it. There it is. So that we are hearing now, that was not any type of demand he was making, a trade demand that he was making with the Nipsey Hussle lyric. Go ahead, Israel Gutierrez.
No, this roster, the only thing I was going to say on that was this roster wasn't really built to build around Luka yet, right? Because the Porzingis, some of these decisions were made just to improve the team, not realizing that they have such a phenomenal player that they can build around, kind of like LeBron. So I think you're going to see more fit pieces come along, and that includes a really good wing defender, by the way. You're going to need that. More so than, you know, individual talents just randomly joining the team. It's going to be more of a fit with Luka, obviously.
We've been horned. We'll move on. Bucks next. The latest on James Harden is he's out for tonight's game 2. The Nets called it a hamstring tightness, which if you're making a distinction, and to not call it a strain, maybe that's a plus. But then you heard the Nets were saying they were heartbroken for Harden, so who knows what to believe. Brooklyn, like they have been all year, not knowing how much of their big three they have to go. Whether Milwaukee can capitalize tonight when they didn't in game 1 is the story. Frank Isola, what are you hearing about Harden and what will decide tonight?
Now, this is a troubling situation. When he missed time earlier this season, April 7th till May 12th with that hamstring injury, and the way they were talking the other night, I'd be very surprised if you see him in this series. They have more than enough to win with, but give the Nets credit. In that fourth quarter of that game, besides Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant and Joe Harris, They had Blake Griffin and Mike James. Mike James began the year in Russia. Blake Griffin began the year in purgatory, a.k.a. Detroit, and he was out there giving them big-time minutes. But you got to think that the Milwaukee Bucks are going to shoot better. They were 6-for-30 on threes. Joe Harris and Blake Griffin were a combined 9-for-18 on threes. So Milwaukee has to play a lot better. I think they will in game two.
You think Milwaukee will take tonight, but what you said to start, and I'll turn to Monica here, is that they can still win the series without James Harden. Go ahead, Monica.
They can, but it just got a lot harder. And I know the regular season and the playoffs are not exactly the same animal, but when you look at the last two times these teams met, the Bucks shot 44% and 49% from the field in those two games, and they won. Giannis had 49 and 36 respectively, and on top of that, KD and Kyrie still got their numbers, and the Bucks got the W. So this is actually, I think it definitely plays into the Bucks' favor, but in particular, I think somebody like Chris Middleton, excuse me, is about to fix it.
Israel Gutierrez, what will decide tonight?
Well, I mentioned on Friday's show in Showdown that it would be jump shooting and jump shots. And I said if Milwaukee makes a shot, they're going to win. And I got muted for grammar. And you know I don't mean
they
a
did
shot.
Make a shot,
I mean,
and
know,
they did
seven,
not win.
Eight, nine,
I mean,
three.
That's why you got muted, but please go ahead.
That's exactly what they couldn't let happen is they just, if they make their jumpers, they win that game. It's the same thing that happened in game one against Miami. Now, they still won that game on a last second jumper by Chris Middleton, but they didn't hit any jumpers. And then once they started hitting them, you saw how that series went. Milwaukee scored 70 points in the paint. If they can keep doing that, it doesn't really, again, they have to make a few shots, but it doesn't really matter how well the Brooklyn's going to play because they're both going to be scoring pretty high. So I think Milwaukee's actually going to win the series here.
Ramona Shelburne.
You know what? I went back and forth on this pick because I really thought Milwaukee was live here. Brooklyn does not have a great defense. They don't necessarily have any plan of stopping Giannis. He's amazing against them. But when I watched Kevin Durant play, I don't know if I just forgot how good he was because he was hurt all year. But man, that guy's good. I think they have enough. I just think they have enough talent. I think they'll hold on even without James Harden.
Is it possible? We ask the question over and over again. Do they need to get the big three together during the regular season? Is it possible all that time being apart and not having the full three actually helps a little bit right now?
Good point.
I don't know that.
Go ahead, Monica.
I don't know that it helps, but I think it's definitely going to be a storyline just from the sense of durability. Will James Harden be the only one to go down? These guys haven't played a ton of
good
consecutive
point.
Games at this competitive
level. Buy yourselves next. Imagine lining up with Derrick Henry in the back. A.J. Brown on one side and Julio Jones on the other. We're talking Titans football next.
What's up, kiddos? I'm Clinton Yates of Around the Horn. Whenever I go to cover games or attend events in Los Angeles, I'm always keeping my eye out for the best dressed person in the room. I saw Diego Luna at the Andor red carpet launch event, Star Wars, folks, and he looked head of state fresh. Now you can also be that person too, whether you're sitting courtside, attending a fancy dinner, or going to a wedding. With a fully custom suit from Indochino, you'll walk into wedding season looking like $1 million for way, way less. They start at just $4.99. With Indochino, you can design the suit of your dreams and fine-tune every detail, including lapels, linings, monograms, pocket flaps, etc. A tailored fit from home. Set up your measurement profile on Indochino's website and choose customizations without even leaving the house. Look your best this wedding season. At the table or on the dance floor when you wear Indochino. Go to Indochino.com today and use code HORN to get 10% off any purchase of $3.99 or more. That's Indochino.com, promo code HORN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
Tennessee Titans making their move to be the number two team in the AFC behind Kansas City. Let's see who's on board for that. We know about Derrick Henry, you know about A.J. Brown, and now Julio Jones. This is irresistible, immovable, forceful objects on their offense. That it was only for a second-round pick next year and a fourth in 2 years. This just boggles the mind. And part of this is San Francisco, Green Bay, and the Baltimore Ravens. How do they not swing it for Julio? Israel Gutierrez, start us off. What are you buying? What are you selling?
I'm going to sell putting them number two behind Kansas City. I wouldn't even put them ahead of Buffalo right now, in large part because I'm not sure if Julio Jones is going to be available for 16 games. I mean, the guy he's replacing, Corey Davis, had 1,000 yards and 5 touchdowns. That's pretty good. And so if Julio's going to better that, he's probably going to have to play, you know, 16 games or so. So I'm not sold 100% just yet.
Monica McNutt.
It's not just Corey Davis he's got to fill in for. Jonnu Smith, shout out to both of those fellas that played in Conference USA in their college ball. I'm with you, though, Izzy. Can't buy just yet. The Tennessee Titans are always a decent squad. I don't know that this puts them over the top in that division.
Whoa, listen to this panel here. Julio Jones? Yeah, sure. Just a guy. Frank Isola.
I mean, but they're trying to compete with Kansas. That's what the bottom line is, and this doesn't do it.
Understood.
Sorry.
Understood. Go ahead, Frank Isola.
Yeah. And I agree. I think Kansas City's still the team in the AFC. You know, the other thing, too, about wide receivers, it's great to have them, but it's a luxury item. You don't win championships just with great receivers. You need offensive line, defensive line, and a quarterback.
I am gobsmacked by this patter right now. Luxury item.
Nice fishing boat.
Julio Jones is the Tennessee Titans, Ramona Shelburne. What does it do?
Man, Frank, you know, they also say columnists are luxury items, so we got to be careful. I mean, I think it's a great move. The A.J. Brown's really happy. He's the happiest guy in Tennessee right now. Yeah. You know who the second happiest is? Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
Because now he's got some space. Like, you can't just stack the box.
And Ryan Tannehill's last 2 years statistically have been so
beyond brand. Super Bowl MVP.
They're going to be better. They're not going to be better enough. Good enough.
Okay, now you're going the wrong way. How did the Baltimore Ravens not invest in a luxury item for Lamar Jackson? I still don't get over that. Buy or sell to Atlanta Hawks stealing game one in Philly. Burgling game one, 128-124. They came out just like they did against the Knicks, just like they did the all second half, just tray and slay. And halfway through the fourth, Philly finally awoken from their slumber to almost make a comeback. But Atlanta gets the win. Monica McNutt, number one takeaway.
Matisse Thybulle and Ben Simmons have to guard Trae Young. Yeah. Danny Green and Tobias Harris, you can't shoot one from 8 for 3. Mm-hmm.
Frank Isola, number one takeaway.
Ben Simmons needs to do more offensively. 3 for 10 from the free throw line is not going to do it. But Trae Young, breakout star this year's playoffs. He's been outstanding.
Ramona Shelburne.
Yeah, Trae Young is that dude, man. I mean, I didn't realize Atlanta was this good until I've been watching them lately. Wow. But your Sixers bench, dude, no points. No points from the all-bench unit when they were out there, 5 turnovers. They lost the game for him.
Mm-hmm. It's Rui Gutierrez.
I don't know about you guys. I was shocked that Embiid played at all, much less played as well as he did. I was shocked given his history, and it's a, you know, knee injury is pretty serious. Maybe give him game one off. But I was shocked that he played that well. My number one takeaway, though, is he's going to have to play better defensively in order for them to win this series. Obviously, you got to contain Trae Young.
128 by the rim for Atlanta. And it's Embiid and it's Simmons. They both would have conversations about being the defensive player of the year. Well, you can't let up 40-plus in the first quarter. Man, is anybody leaning towards Atlanta in this series now? Anybody? Now that they got the first game? Nobody.
Cautious, just because I'm nervous about Joe's knee.
Cautious lean from Shelburne. That's all I can get. All right, we'll move on. Like buy or sell three, USA, Mexico off the rails last night when you let up a goal in the first minute. Things could get better, but then Reina and McKennie and then extra time and Pulisic and then Horvat the save and the storied Nations League title goes to the United States. And this was a throat-grabbing, punch-throwing, bottle-launching game that was stopped at one point by officials because of anti-gay chants from those in attendance. Frank, what does it all mean?
Yeah, all those people throwing bottles, you're banned from NBA arenas indefinitely. That was Gio Reyna right there who got hit. By the way, he's 18, Pulisic is 22, McKennie is 22. Those were the three goal scorers. That is a huge win to beat a team like Mexico and the U.S. trail twice in the game. But the sub goalkeeper, Ethan Horvath, what a performance by him. Incredible.
Shelburne. Ramona.
Oh, look, I think when you look at this game, the last time we've been talking about the U.S. national team is when they were in disarray, when they were falling apart. So this is a huge win for them coming back here. And I'm glad, look, we're talking about fan behavior, not them losing. So this is a good sign for them.
Gutierrez.
Yeah, it was a very good thing for them. I'm glad they stopped the game to just make for the anti-gay slur or chance, just to let everybody know, hey, this crowd is being childish and look at them, point at them, let's all make fun of them and let's go back to this game. Now, the fact that the U.S. could survive all that against a good Mexico team, win it in extra time, I think it's just very fulfilling for them and it's just momentum going forward.
Monica.
I mean, big picture, we've been waiting for the U.S. men's national team to kind of get out of the basement and get back to winning ways. The young guys, I think that's a huge deal. This group could be together for a long time, and they're accustomed to playing in high-pressure situations.
As Frank said, it wasn't just scoring, it wasn't just winning, it was coming back twice when being down. Monica, Israel, got to say goodbye right now. We have a Ramona Isola 40-40. Showdown. Last night's strike call in Yankee Sox, was it the worst ever? All right, take a look at it. And then I remind you of a certain World Series. Look at Israel's face now. You know where I'm going. Yes, the Eric. Look at those.
Woo! You get a strikeout. You get a strikeout.
Oh. We'll be back in Showdown. That was like a real palazzo.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
It was video like we've never seen before. Seeing John Rahm on the course go to the ground in reaction after being told something. Come to find out it was his positive COVID test and his tournament was over and he had to leave the Memorial with a six-shot lead and the $1.67 million for winning gone. Patrick Cantlay went on to win it. How should the tour feel about seeing this, Frank Isola?
Well, it should be a warning. Imagine if this were the U.S. Open or the British Open or the PGA Championship or the Masters. Here you have the leader, and he's knocked out. Remember Justin Turner. It happened to him in the World Series, but he's part of a team. This is an individual sport.
Well, this is why every major sports league has incentivized vaccinations, right? There you get the upside of not having to be tested daily if you're vaccinated, even if you're in close contact. And so I think this is and if you're the tour, you say, okay, this is why we have that incentivization.
It's just surreal to watch. It's almost traumatizing to see somebody go through something that drops them to the ground right before your eyes. Ramona, if you were to win, what would your FaceTime be? Two words or fewer.
Coach Uffel.
And Frank Isola?
TJ.
TJ. Tommy John? We'll go college softball. Let's go, Ramona.
Hey, well, if you were like me, Saturday night with nothing better to go do and go see, up watching college softball in the middle of the night, it was fun. I was eating popcorn like Beth Moens, and this was fun for me. But you know who it was not fun for? The student athletes who were playing until 3 o'clock in the morning local time. NCAA, we got to do better. We can't have quadruple headers now. These are just athletes playing for the championship of their sport. They've got to do better than this. Let's just space it out over 2 weeks. People will watch.
Quadruple headers. It blows your mind that even was the plan to begin with. Thanks for that, Ramona.
What do you know about college softball, Ramona?